Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, hi, friends. How are you? It's Monday night. It's Raising Expectations. And if you're from England, it's Expectations. Actually, I should clear my throat. It's Expectations here in America. But we're glad you're with us. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. And it's going to be something that's, hey, you've been asking for. I've had some texts asking, what does Frank Roberson know about this and about that? So he's going to be here to share with you tonight. And we'll introduce him in just a minute. And as you know, Expectations is tie closely to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're people of faith. We're thankful that God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son to die on a cross for our sins. And the great thing about that is every day we know he walks with us. So we expect expectations. What's he going to do next? And so hopefully the people that we bring on the program, you'll be able to see what he's doing in their lives and be encouraged and strengthened and share it with someone else. Share it with your family, share it with your neighbors. And somebody that we know always gets together and has people over for refreshments and watches our program. So do that. Learn the fellowship. Bring in the neighbors. You know, if you need a bigger TV, well, we'll see what we can do to help you with that if you have 100 people or so. But that'll work out. Hey, but seriously, if you want to find us, we're on 5 different platforms. Of course, with BBS Radio Television Network, which is our flagship, our people that we love, they're our family. And then they've got us sending out to all the other ones, YouTube, we're going to Twitter, to Facebook, of course, and then on to, there's a couple other ones in there. I don't find them all because I can only watch one at a time, but tune us in, raise some expectations every Monday night at this time. So we want to share our congregation with you again. They're a great group of people that work and bless my life. They're from all over the United States, really, now spread out across the nation. We always like to start with my friend and fellow pastor of actually, so many years, it's about 50 years plus now that we have been buddies and getting into trouble, actually serving the Lord together across the nation. And Dr. Paul Hall is in Lompoc, California, and that's known as, tell us again, Paul.
Oh, you're muted, Paul. You're still muted.
Rocket Town.
There's a rocket taking off right now, and it's kind of muted. How's that, Paul?
It's muted. Oh,
there you go.
Rocket down.
Rocket down.
Yeah, before yesterday, we had another one at 6:18 a.m. Yeah.
This morning. Wow.
Yeah. One-way trip.
Those tickets are less expensive anyway, right? They don't
cost absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
Paul Hall is everybody's friend. Dr. Paul has been a pastor. He's retired, but actually he's not. He's a theologian. He's a former Bible teacher, professor. He's headed a school. Paul has done it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to people everywhere. And he's been my brother for all these years, over 50 years. And he's family to me and to all of us, as you're going to see our wonderful co-host that we have on this program. So Paul's there in the West Coast, just north of Santa Barbara in Lompoc, and he'll be sharing with us in just a bit. He's also, somebody asked me again this week, Paul is the scribe. And they said,
I said, yeah.
He took the best notes all through school, so he's the scribe. And someday when you get the special edition of Raising Expectations with 2 or 3 years of our guest, you'll see why he's the scribe. He takes great notes. So if you forget who you are, just check with him and we'll fill you in. So he'll tell us from that show. So again, moving from the West Coast, from California to the South, on the as far south as you can get, all the way to the end of the Western United States where it hits the ocean. How am I doing, Ron? Getting better, huh? In the South, you'll find
Florida's not the South.
Yeah.
But Georgia is.
Georgia is. Yeah, there we go. Okay, good deal. Good deal. I always picture East Coast, but it's really the South, guys. So it's right there. Steph and Dr. Craig, Stephanie Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer, two of our favorite people in the world. We tell you every week because it is true. Steph is the CEO and founder of Quenching Wells. She's about the best you're going to find in the world when it comes to a health and a wellness coach. She knows how to help you take care of your body, body, soul, and spirit, as the Bible tells us in Colossians. And she loves the Lord. She shares her faith. Sometimes I'll be able to catch the things that she puts up. She puts out special, what do you call those again? Little programs or reels every day.
Reel.
Is it just reels? They were so fancy. I thought they'd be another name. But she puts reels out every week, and they are so good that she's got me running up down the stairs and running all over the place. It's really working. Really does a great job on it, you know. But anyway, Stephanie is a wonderful, godly woman who loves the Lord. And to her left, and you're right if you're looking at your screen, she has a wonderful husband, Dr. Craig Thayer. We call him Tank. And Craig is a trauma surgeon, and you know what a trauma surgeon is. I just have to say this because a trauma surgeon is the one when everybody looks at it and says, what do we do now? That's when they call Craig, because he has a great discernment, a gift of God that he's given to say, this is where we go. And I'm going to say this. I haven't said it in a long time, but every week I think about Craig. When I pray for Craig, I remember that he shared with me every time he would go into surgery, he would remember to pray, these hands, Lord, use them to do what I must do and help me to know how to help this person in your name. And that's an incredible man of God right there. He's also a great dad, a great coach. His sons are, their sons are great water polo players and great guys. And also he's a great author. His new book, his first book of many, is called Saved, Finding God in the Ordinary. And that's where God lives. He's with us every step of the way. So he talks about it. One trauma surgeon's true account of the miracles in his life. Craig never takes for granted. There's no such thing as an accident. God is working in the midst of everything. So coincidence is out the window. God has a plan in everything. So pick up your copy of Saved. It's on our website also. You'll find it there. And you can go to on our website and read about the folks. And you'll find it also where it is there on their websites and be able to get yourself a copy. It's something that will encourage and strengthen, and I guarantee it'll raise your expectations about what God can do in your life. We just love and appreciate the Thayers. They're our family. And then if we move back from the South, almost not the South because it's above Georgia, but if we move almost a little bit further more to the great state of Texas, which is what do we call that, Craig?
Central America.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. Right there in Texas, the great state of Texas, which is the leg upon which the nation sits. That's why we've got Ron there. It's a better place to be with Pastor Ron there in the great state of Texas in McKinney. Ron is a counselor and a pastor. He works with Man in the Mirror based out of Florida, which is the South. And deep South. And he works with people everywhere. Ron has a specialty working with men, particularly, and helping men to just, he's a guy's guy, and he just gets with them and says, hey, this is what God's doing in your life. And he helps them in ways that we don't even have time to go into. Ron's a very special man, our favorite pastor in the state of Texas. And carry on, Ron. It's excellent what you do. We love you, brother. Way to go. So now, spot on, as they say. So now, in the state of Texas, we also have, of course, we have something very special tonight. It's called our special guest. And with us, we have, from Texas, we have Mr. Frank, as you know, Roberson. Frank, we've had with us before. I love it. It's someday we're going to get the official stream that doesn't decide to shift and bring me back a week. So I have to tell you about the same person, right? So I want to tell, I had this memorized, but you put me on Fox News and don't put me on there. Never mind. Put me on Newsmax and I can really read the script like I used to. And you won't even know I'm reading it. We're delighted to have with us tonight. Okay, how am I doing, Ron? a great man of faith, and his wife and family, over 21-year career as an executive protection agent. He's protected elected officials. He's protected profile CEOs and ultra-wealthy individuals and their families. 21 years experience, he is sought after as an expert on protection, advanced operational strategies, and protective intelligence. So Frank's going to tell us tonight about some very exciting things that we can do where we live and take care of our families. I think I counted 18 or 19 texts that came to me today that really wanted to know how this works to protect their families. And so, Frank, we're glad you're with us tonight. We're going to introduce you tonight, Frank, with a round of applause. We might have a picture there of you, and this round of applause. Welcome to Raising Expectations. And there he is right there.
Thank you.
That's the picture version. There he looks like he knows what he's doing, doesn't he, folks?
Now,
the real version. Bring him on, TJ. There's real Frank right there. Welcome to our show, Frank, and feel free to share from your heart.
Thank you.
We'll jump in and be with you. We're glad you're with us.
Thank you for having me back. I really appreciate it. It's been a while, but it's good to be back with you guys.
Amen.
Good to have you.
Texas is a great place.
Okay, so in my ignorance, what were you waving around off your shelf?
It was a longhorn.
A longhorn?
The little longhorn.
Oh, he's very cute.
Yeah.
There you go.
Along with the Dallas Cowboy football with the name engraved, you know, stitched on the Cowboy stuff here.
There you go.
That's great.
And
off the chain thing too. You know.
Oh, there.
We got it all.
We got it covered. Yeah. Hey, man, looking good.
Yeah.
This is Stephanie's favorite part of the show.
No.
Oh, well, tell us a little bit about how your week's been and what you do and how we can understand better.
Let's see. Well, the week, it was a busy week. We just got back from 6 days in East Texas. The current family I protect, they have a ranch out there, working cattle ranch. So we were out there, and so peaceful. I mean, driving from Mansfield to North Dallas is an adventure every morning and every night. Wow. And but being out in East Texas, waking up with the cows out the window of my accommodations there, and having a bowl of cereal and watching the cows and listening to nothing. This is great. And then I come back and had a full Monday. So it was a good week though.
All right. Well, one of the calls that I got in, one of the texts that came in to me, I could pull it up. I'm going to try to remember so it's not verbatim, or perfect. But a family wanted to know when we're going places. Do you have some ideas? They have two little kids. And, I would say like elementary school and younger. And what do we do, or what would we look for? Are there things and what's happening in the streets and cities that come up in places we don't even recognize that we can do for that? And then the team will jump in with you on that.
All right. So I'll use what I do. I started out as an advance guy once my political career protecting elected officials ended. So what I do is I go out ahead about a week in advance to figure out how to do exactly what you just described, to make everything easier when my principal arrives or the rest of the team arrives with the boss. So I will tell you, we did the Super Bowl this year, second year in a row, which was fantastic. And I think I told you this on the phone, Joe. I was going to write an article about it, but I've been too busy to write the article. But I saw a fellow protection agent misuse the valet service at the Waldorf Astoria that we were staying at. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things when you travel and kids are going to be out of school, people are going to start traveling for the summer, your closest friend, at least my closest friend, in every detail I go to, whether we're going to Scotland or we're going to a fancy restaurant in Dallas or we're going somewhere else in the United States, even the Super Bowl, is to make friends with the bell captain. The reason you do that is because you want your vehicle to be easily accessible. You want it looked after. You want to know where to go for dinner. You want to know these guys know where to go and where not to go. They know what roads to go and what roads not to go, what restaurants are the best you want to go to. You're going to save yourself a huge amount of stress if you get to know the bell captain. It's going to cost you some cash. So when I go on one of these advanced trips, I'm always making sure, like today we did a hospital visit. They have a valet there. We're going in to the second floor for a pickup and a consultation. But I told the guy, we're not going to be very long. Can you keep it out front for me? And I gave him $20. So when I come back next week and I see the same guy, because I got his name, he's going to remember me and he's going to make sure, oh, I got to keep this guy's car real close. I got to keep his car up front so he doesn't have to wait for it. Same thing at restaurants. I go advance the restaurants before we go. I talk to the maitre d', I talk to the head valet guy. I get a little spot. There's an Albanese up in North Dallas that we go to quite a bit. And the valet guy there, he has a little spot for me to park that is easily accessible. And I get to park it myself. I keep the keys in case something goes wrong. But the valet, when you travel, is going to be your biggest best friend. This particular agent who was protecting a very well-known CEO, he got an argument with valet trying to do things his own way. He wanted to park in an area that he shouldn't be parking at in the busiest time of the valet. It goes in ebbs and flows. When you advance, you sit there and you watch it. You watch when everybody's coming in, when it's quiet, when it's busy. And he wanted to park in a certain area, and he had the attitude where, oh, I'm dropping off somebody. It's all right. And the guy threatened to call security and have him trespassed because he didn't know how to form those relationships with the valet guy. On the other hand, I was able to give my client a list of a couple of restaurants that he might want to go to that week. He and his wife was on the trip last year. She didn't travel. This year she did. So we went to a couple of different restaurants that he would normally go to. But the valet guy is really the one that you want to, that's the number one thing. Mm-hmm. You want to look for the valet guy. Don't be afraid of valet. It may cost you a little bit extra money, but trust me, the valet's not going to tell you anything if you're not parking your car with them. That's the one thing, because they don't care. But you slip them $20 to park your car. But hey, can you put my car up front here? You know, they'll do it if you got to throw a little at them. Kentucky Derby, same way. That just happened a couple weeks ago. I've been to three of those, and I have the same security people that I developed relationships with before at each of the little checkpoints. So I was able to go through areas that some people weren't able to go to because I built those relationships. So it takes time. But you can do that when you're traveling, even with the kids. Mm-hmm. If it's the concierge at the hotel, if it's the valet guy, if it's someone that just really friendly to you when you get there, mm-hmm. tell them, hey, I need to, can you give me some information? When I go to England or Scotland or something like that out of the country, I go meet with the security director at the hotel. Mm-hmm. I want to know what are the things that are going on in the neighborhood to keep the people I'm walking the streets with safe. And they'll tell you what's going on in the neighborhood because they have a better pulse on it than I do because I just flew in. Yeah. So those kinds of guys, and you always want to make sure you tip them because they'll really take care of you. A client I worked for that had a direct threat for 9.5 years, everything was in my name. But when I arrived at a hotel in San Diego, down in Grand Del Mar, every time I arrived, the hotel manager and the valet guy both knew that my client was coming within 2 or 3 days. And they made sure everything was taken care of because they know at the end of the week and throughout the week, they're going to be well taken care of. So mm-hmm. it costs you a little extra in your budget, but I guarantee it's well worth it instead of going to a restaurant that turns out to be closed or in a horrible neighborhood or mm-hmm. too far away or that kind of thing. So that's the first thing I would say.
I'd imagine you'd advise your client not to get out of the car you're driving for them and jump into a taxi. Funny story.
The lady that owns a wine company in California protected her for 3 years. We travel all over the world, and she's in the $8-10 billion net worth range. And I actually put the child safety locks on because she actually tried to get out of the car right before it came to a complete stop. And she actually asked me, Frank, I can't get out. Do you have the child safety locks on? I go, yeah, I do. And she appreciated that. But even my current client, they asked me in the first week, what do we do with getting out of the car? I said, you sit there until I come around to the car because you don't want to get out of the car before me in case something's going on or whatever. So some clients will ask you, but some you'll have to use the child safety lock. Or she likes to roll the window down and talk to people, so I'll lock the windows too.
So, do you limit the window gap?
No, it just turned off. She can't roll them down.
So, she's not used to being told no, I don't think.
Yeah, you know, I just did it. So I'm so sorry. You got out of the car so fast last time. I wanted to make sure, you know, I was there the next time he got out. So yeah, I've used the functions in the car to make sure no one gets out or in, for that matter.
Yeah.
Because it stopped, you know, stoplights in certain areas in the middle of Dallas, or you're going down a Deep Elms and at night going through after coming through a restaurant to go to 75 North or something, you know, you get stopped at a light down there and some people could come knocking on your door in your car and try to get in. You know, we've had some carjackings down there, but, you know, you got to be cognizant of it all. Situational awareness will save 90% of the time.
And I'm sure some of these that these comments would also apply to women traveling alone, because I'm thinking about that. It doesn't happen very often that I do travel alone, but it does. And I definitely have a different awareness and I do different patterns when I'm by myself. Is there anything that you would recommend for women?
Well, there's a couple of things. And it's really being super aware, but also you gotta trust your gut. If you feel uncomfortable, you've got to do something different. You can't go, oh, I don't know why I'm feeling like this, and get in an elevator with three guys. You know, you gotta avoid the elevator. You don't want to take the stairs if you're not comfortable taking the stairs. But you also have to take time to look at the stairs. I learned a lesson in England, especially if you travel overseas. It's not like in the U.S. hotels, because my client liked to get her steps in. She liked to get her 10,000 steps in a day. So in the morning, she'll come down from the hotel and go down the stairs when we're in the United States. Oh. She tried to do that at the Winston Churchill Hotel in northeast London. But when I did my advance work, the stairs go out to the back alley and the door locks behind you. So it's important to also check to make sure you can get back in your door if you want to take the stairs back up, because a lot of those doors lock from the inside of the stairwell. You don't want to get stuck in a stairwell and then accidentally get stuck in there with the person you're trying to avoid getting in the elevator with. The other thing is, it's a rule of three. I don't have a fancy name for it. It's called a rule of three. But if you're walking around and you see the same person three times in three different locations or in three areas, you're being followed. And what you need to do is you need to, you know, recognize it, but don't get excited about it. And go to some place and recognize some place that you absolutely know that person would never go and you wouldn't normally go, to verify that. Or if you see law enforcement, just go over and just start talking to them, or go into a police station and see a police car or something like that, just to be safe. Mm-hmm. The odds of you seeing the same person three times at three different locations in three different areas, three different types of places, is slim to none. They teach us that in counterintelligence studies and in school. It's basically a rule of three. I got to come up with some cool tactical name for it, but it's basically the rule of three. You know, we've all heard make four right turns and you know if someone's following you. But if you see the same person three times in a public area, then that person, you know, see them at the mall one time, see them at the ice cream shop another time, then see them in your hotel lobby, go find the security guy. That's the number one thing. The other thing is, try not to post pictures while you're on vacation. This is a normal one, but this happens every. My wife owns and her family have owned a travel agency for 40 years, and every time there's a sailing, there's somebody on the ship that's, oh, we just left for 14 days on this cruise. Here's our picture of leaving on the boat. All you're doing is saying, "My house is wide open. Come get it." And they will live in your house for 14 days and get whatever they want. You know, they're not there for your television anymore. I think I mentioned this on the last time I was here. When they break into your house, they're not there for your television anymore. They're there to collect information, to create a new you, to get your bank account information. The TVs nowadays are, you know, you can go get a 70-inch television for $300. They aren't going to make any money off of that. But they'll make thousands and thousands of dollars off your identity, whether they're selling it or using it to create another you to go put some bills in your pocket.
Mm. Wow.
So on that note, give us an idea how big the selling information is this day and age, especially given our influx of neighbors.
Well, there are websites on the deep web. And I said, nobody should go try to get on the deep web on their own computer or without professional help. Don't try this at home, so to speak. But there are websites on there that actually will sell your identity. They'll sell 100,000 people, their identity, social, driver's license, everything for $1,000, $5,000, whatever. You can hire a hitman for 10 grand, but funny enough, they have a standard for hitman. You can't be under 18 and can't be on the top 10 political list. Mm-hmm. So anywhere in between there, you can hire a hitman for 10 grand. The deep web is a mess. Our information is out there, and our information has been stolen, whether it was from Target, Texas DMV, wherever. IRS lost a bunch of it. Our information's out there. I've always said that you really need to find a good identity theft service. Yeah. And if people want to reach out to me offline or whatever, I can recommend a couple. But you have to have something that restores your identity for you. Because trying to do it yourself is ridiculously hard and takes a long time, keeps you out of work, keeps you off focus of your family and everything else, and it's going to cost you a bunch of money. So you need to find a service that will actually go and restore that identity for you the way it was before. And one of my favorite tips that I talk about at Rotary Clubs and things like that, that people mention the most, is when you're filling out your ticket at dinners when you're traveling or here at home, when you put your tip in there and you put your total, make sure you put the little dollar sign in front of both numbers. That alleviates somebody else putting another number in there, and put it close. Don't just put it over there. Make sure it's close. So I do that. I don't think I have a receipt. I didn't think about it. I knew I was going to talk about that tip, but I don't think I have all of these receipts for dinners here. But it alleviates people from putting in another number in the tip column. Mm-hmm. And if you do it on both of them, they don't think that's what you're thinking. They just think you're writing a dollar sign in there. But dollar sign, $6, and dollar sign total. Leave no room for them to add extra numbers in there. Mm-hmm. That's one of the tips that I get feedback from the most.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Interesting. Well, one of the emphasis for my wife and daughter-in-law and other young folks around me has been to the whole idea of situational awareness. Mm-hmm. It's just something that's uncommon for us nowadays. People are completely clueless. Mm-hmm. And it's mind-boggling to me just how clueless they are. It's stunning. But I think Allen, Texas, last week, is really opened up some nice conversations with folk who normally weren't listening. That's literally 6 minutes directly east from me.
Yeah, I've been asked about that a lot. And let me tell you, since 2010, I study a certain training in the Marine Corps. It's called the Combat Hunters Program.
Yeah, yeah.
And they rebranded it. It's called Left to Bang, really. And what that is trying to figure out, there are usually three indicators that are there before something happens. And if you can identify those three indicators, I just had this conversation with the principal today because we have a new threat. And so if something's going to happen, there's going to be three things that are going to happen leading up to that. And for instance, this guy, he did the homework that I normally do if I'm going to take a client there. He went and he printed out maps of the mall. He did all this stuff, all the surveillance. And he went there at different times to find out when was the busiest time. Mm-hmm. Person that does that, we call it a baseline. When you walk into a restaurant or a crowded place or something like that, or just go to sit at the DMV, just go sit in a chair, just go in there, have fun to sit in the DMV for no reason. Yeah. Everyone is on their phone.
Yes.
The only people that are looking around are the people watching for bad guys and bad guys. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is on their phone. Yes. So when you go into a restaurant, when you go into doing that kind of, or somebody is going in and walking around the mall, my wife and I had this conversation. Well, the security's there, not going to know he's just sitting there walking around. There he is, because his mind is on something completely different from shopping. Mm. You're there window shopping. You're looking at, your body language is completely different than if you're there to gather intelligence or try to figure out how you're going to come back here and do the damage that guy did. There were indicators beforehand that somebody that was paying attention and security would have figured out, would have seen.
Right.
I can tell you a story if I got a couple of minutes. I was sitting with the current family. They have me eat with them all the time. Sometimes it's a little uncomfortable because I can't keep an eye on everything, but I do sit there and they notice me looking at the front of this restaurant and they go, "So what are you looking for?" And the wife looked at the husband and goes, "Wow, that's amazing. I never thought that." So when we walked in, I noticed the girls up front were a little slow identifying it. We stood in front of that podium for a good 3 minutes before they looked up from their charts at the podium there when you walk in, right?
Right.
When I sat down, we're sitting in a booth. First thing I did is find out where the exits were. And you don't have to be weird about it. I mean, you're not going in there, exit, exit, exit. Okay. You don't have to be weird about it. But, you know, just look around. If something happens, which way are you going to go? You never go where everybody else is going to go. That's the key. You don't go, everyone's going to go to the front door. You want to go to the back door. Go through the kitchen, whatever. So we sat in a booth that had we just had to turn around and go down this thing. It actually had a wooden wall that the client and his wife are so short, they wouldn't be seen. My head, my shoulders and up would be seen. We go out the side door. So I'm sitting there, I keep looking back and I go, "What are you looking for?" And I said, "Well, look, watch this. I time this out. This is the timing. If some bad guy comes in, I walk and I go, watch this." It took about 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes for this lady at the thing to see that there was two people standing in front of her. Right? That's three. That's a lot of time.
A lot of time.
So now if those guys start something, everybody is down at their phone, looking at, talking with their friends. On average, it takes 2 seconds for our brains to recognize something's going on and react to it. Right? That's 2 to 3 seconds total. Figure it out and then react. Right? So now you're let's go with seconds instead of minutes. So let's just say it took them 30 seconds to figure out that I'm standing in front of the podium. Another 2.5 minutes for everybody to hear the noise and go, "Oh, there's a noise," and then look around. There's another 5 to 10 seconds, right? And then the person starts firing or doing something, whatever he's doing inside the restaurant. Everybody's going, "Oh my God, what's going on?" And they're freaking out, right? There's another 5, 10 seconds before they realize, "Shoot, I better do something."
Yeah.
That time, we're at a couple of minutes. I have time to move the family I protect out of the booth, around that side, get them all outside before any of all that stuff happens. But most people, like you said, are oblivious. They're looking at their menus. They're drinking and talking and having fun. They're not paying attention to somebody that walks in and may pull out a gun on the hostess and start shooting up the place. And we had I had an exact time at the end of it. And they go, "Oh my God, 45 seconds. That's all we had. That's all we have before something's going to happen." Yeah. "Well, we can't move that fast."
"I can move you.
You can move that fast. All you have to do is move from the seat around the side of the back of the wall. Cause if they can't see you, they're not going to shoot at you."
Right.
And so that's just an example, but you have to be aware. If you walk into some place, it's like I said, it's called a baseline. And when that baseline changes, I went to a wedding one time or the reception of a wedding, there are 300 people there and everything's normal, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden a couple of guys start arguing in the back. That vibe goes around and spreads out until something tells you to look over there. And all of a sudden you're looking over there and you can tell there's some stress and something going on over there. The baseline has changed and you picked up on that. That's what I mean, Stephanie, when you got to trust your gut. Yeah. If you're going into some place, a bar, a restaurant, and you just see the vibe is just completely not your thing, you need to turn around. Even if it's a further walk to go to a better place or a cab ride, you got to walk out. If your stomach gets like, "Ooh, this is a sketchy place," you need to walk out.
Yeah. Well, I think we talked about this the last time you were on, that if you have friends that are first responders, whether they tell you or not, observe them, because they will always place themselves facing the door. They will always watch. Yeah, I know. All the retired fire captains that I know, all of them. Right. And and it's actually really reassuring, but it shows you how much the normal person just does not pay attention to.
Correct. And they don't. And it's crazy because you can go through the mall and probably walk up to somebody and flick them in the forehead and they won't ever see you coming.
Right. Right.
You don't want to do that, obviously. But, I mean, that's something you could do, though, because they're not paying any attention.
Right.
You just got to – I mean, it's, some people will think you're not engaged in the conversation, whatever. But looking around and seeing people moving near you, anybody gets within my 21 feet, that's where my radar starts going off, because 21 feet, even if I have a firearm on me and the guy has a knife running at me, I can't get my gun, as fast as I am, I can't get my gun out and get an accurate shot off in the time that that guy with a knife can get to me in 21 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I practice all the time. I do drills. I told somebody the other day, it asked me about security driving, and then my it was my close quarters combat coach. He was asking me how you practice the reaction times. And I said, I do that by driving. My driving does that, because it takes a second and a half, 2 seconds to recognize something first. So if one of y'all are standing in front of me are going to punch me, you have a 2 second advantage on me, because you already know what you're going to do. I have to react faster than you can get to me. Otherwise I'm not going to do it. So I practice my reaction times with my security driving, because, and people on the freeway in Texas don't really like me for this sometimes when I practice it. But when you're driving in a motorcade, you have to be a half a car length or less from the bumper of the car in front of you and maintain speed and maintain that gap. You can't have it going, you know, like this. You have to stay there like this. So you have to be very, very sharp. And when the lead car wants to change lanes, he'll blink his, at least the training I had with the CHP's Dignitary Protection guys that I worked with for 9.5 years, the driver will flick his blinker one time in whichever direction he wants to go, and you got to clear the lane for him. And when those brake lights come on, boom, you got to, I mean, you this far, I mean, 80 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, because CHP guys don't drive slow. And they all, the funny thing is, they all have badges, those drive, the two drivers of the other vehicles, and I don't. And I'm the chase car, so the person that's going to get pulled over is me, and I'm not the one that has to get out of jail free car. But I practice my reaction times to things with the driving or other things. I have a drill for my hand-to-hand combat thing that my wife loves, because it's, she puts her hands on top of mine, and I have to feel her getting ready to hit me. She loves this one, because when we first start out, she gets a few slaps in. Yeah, see, yeah. She gets a few slaps in there, so she loves that one. But you got to practice those reaction times if you can, because someone trying to grab you, someone trying to punch you, you walk down the street in San Francisco, you could get punched by a homeless guy walking down the street, unfortunately. You got to be ready for some of that stuff. Sounds difficult. Sounds like, man, that's a lot of stuff. I don't want to worry about all that stuff. But it really is, all it is just paying attention. Because if you see somebody starting to swing at you, you're going to react to it automatically. So it's not all that difficult to do and put all that stuff together on a trip with your kids, because your kids are everything. And anybody starts coming at your kids, you don't need training for that, because you're automatically going to, go in to protect those kids.
Right.
Interesting.
Well, I think that the other thing with you mentioned that the practice thing, and I think most people think that's weird, but as you said, you have to be aware, and then you have to practice and be ready.
Correct.
So, for the everyday person, say in a, here's one of my favorite, in the grocery store. How do I practice the awareness in the grocery store, moms? just a lead in. One of the things that bugs me to no end, I seriously do. My wife thinks I'm actually crazy. I will walk up and take a woman's purse out of our shopping cart, and then walk around and then hand it to her. it's simple stuff like that.
Yeah. You know, and, I mentioned that because the wife that the family I work for, because the neighborhood they're in has had some issues lately at the grocery store, I go with her. I don't know if anyone here has seen Guarding Tess with Nicolas Cage and Shirley MacLaine, but I literally have texted my wife in the grocery store. Can I get a price check on Sore Baby Peas? Price check. And I just picture myself doing this with the radio in my hand. But what I do when we go, in fact, she snuck out, went to the grocery store. I was off yesterday because we had that long week last week. Ooh. And she told me the story today. She went to the grocery store. She snuck out. I caught her once sneaking out. But yesterday she snuck out and the manager of the store came out and says, "Where's your security?" He's going to be mad at you. She goes, "Yeah, I can't tell him. It's not, you can't live without him. You have to have him here all the time. You know the things that go on around here. And we all know who you are. We got to make sure that you're protected. And we can't have you." So when I walk into a grocery store, I do what they call soft coverage. You know, I'm not on her. I don't have the headset, sunglasses. I don't have the headset because I'm not talking to anybody else, but it's just me. But I know exactly her routine through the grocery store by now. Mm-hmm. She always starts over here, and then she's going to say, "Hey, Frank, let's get a donut." So we both eat a donut before we pay for it. And we remember, so we always pay for it. But that's the point right there where we got to that point, and I said, "Okay, I'm going to go do my thing." And she goes, "Okay." So she's going into the wine area, and she's not going to buy anything or put anything in there, but she takes forever. She goes down every lane. Hope she's not watching this.
I'm married to her.
Every lane. Right?
And I'm married to her.
I'm going to tell her.
And she has a list with 10 things on it that aren't anywhere near that area, right? And she's going down every lane. So I got plenty of time. I could go restock the whole store, come back, and she'd still be in that window. So I will take a lap. I'll take a lap around. I'll go out the opposite entrance and come down. And because they've had some people that have been that have followed customers home from this particular grocery store and then attacked them in their driveway, I do go out to where the shopping cart area is. I look around. Anyone sitting in their car at the end of the parking lot, typically they're not going to park up close because they're obviously. So I go to the back of the parking lot one time. I one time joked, I said, "Well, there's a donut shop at the end of the parking lot. I'm going to go check it out." But if anyone's sitting in their car, because I don't want to scare her. I don't want to, you don't want to freak out your principal or your wife or your husband or whatever because you notice some strange guy sitting in the parking lot back by himself. But I do a whole round of the grocery store, and then I see the manager, and then I see the guy that always bags her groceries. Same guy. He knows her routine too, and he knows when to bring a second and a third cart. Yep, second and third cart, because we're only halfway through the store. And it's it's the grocery store. You just have to be aware because there's going to be people in there that there's, and if you think about it, this is the way I break it down when I walk in a grocery store. Okay, so there's going to be managers and supervisors up front. There's going to be some guys that are stocking the shelves. There's going to be some cashiers wandering around, the bakery people, and then there's going to be customers. And I think about, okay, customers are going to have a shopping cart. They're going to have the basket. They're going to have something in their hands that shows that they're shopping. So that's my baseline when I walk in the door. So if somebody's walking around for 15, 20 minutes, and I've noticed him two or three times because I'm doing my loop, and he's got nothing in his hands, and he's still been in that store forever and are different areas and just looking at stuff, doing one of these things, I think that's somebody to keep an eye out. Once you try to practice that, that person will stick out like a sore thumb. Yeah. And try that next time you go to the grocery store. Just before you start shopping, take a lap. And just look and see everybody that's in the store and go through your list. Supposed to be stalkers, not stalkers, but stalk people. The bakery, the meat guys, the deli guys, the floral person, some other people, the cashiers and the managers, supervisors, and pharmacy people. That's it, working there. Anybody else is a customer, but they have to be acting like a customer.
Right.
And it'll stick out like a sore thumb.
I have a question. This isn't necessarily about your security, but about your employers. A woman of that means, why is she doing her own shopping? I think I know the answer, but I'm curious.
Well, don't ever ask that question when I know she's around, because she'll go, "Yeah, why am I? Frank, here's my list." I don't want to be the grocery guy.
Why doesn't she have someone doing those services for her?
This family is very, very low key. They've paid people's doctor bills. They've paid people's car payments. I've had to stop in the $200,000 Land Rover and get out and hand somebody that had three kids sitting there at the corner begging for money and hand them cash. they're very, very low key. So they go do their own stuff. They do a lot of their own.
I thought you were going to say that, you know, because a lot of women, they like to do their own shopping. They want to pick out what they want, which is why she's probably going up and down every aisle. That's why I asked.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, a simple solution is, you know, it's for it to get delivered. But I think some of them probably want to live a normal life, too. That was my other
it's
thought.
It's called retail third.
She is trying to learn the computer so she can order groceries. Most of the stuff she can order. But it's still... she's just always goes out and get her own groceries. Cause sometimes we've gotten things cause I have to help her get some stuff off the shelf. She does get different stuff every time, a lot of times. So there isn't like a consistent list. There are basics that she has that she always gets, but, she missed her spot. The dog jumped and missed her spot. She just likes to do that. And she actually has a car specifically for groceries. She calls it the grocery car. So it's not the Land Rover. It's
the
not
other car.
It's the different car.
You know, I grew up, well, I was born in Southern California and then my parents moved me to Northern California. But I've been around a lot of celebrities and a lot of athletes in my life. And I have a lot of family that still lives down there. And I'm thinking, because I would see them in the grocery store a lot, like celebrities would do some of their own shopping. I bet you there was security that I had no idea just running around, you know, as a snotty kid and teenager.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't know that I was security, but there's a Whole Foods there in that area where Laura Bush shops.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there are people there that other people would know that probably wouldn't recognize her because you don't think that's their advantage. When she goes in there, you're not thinking, oh my God, Laura Bush is going to come into Whole Foods today.
I don't know if this is the neighborhood that you work in. Don't answer it. But we were in Dallas for water polo, and I don't know the neighborhood. It's very, very high, and there's lots of billionaires in that neighborhood because I drove by their houses and Googled them. But we were in the grocery store, and there was a nice older woman that did have security with her. She was very sweet. You remember that store? Yeah.
What'd she look like?
You actually talked with her. She was really nice. It wasn't you.
That's what my boss would do too. She would sit there and talk. She talked to this lady. She offered. One of the nurses was looking for to buy some Excedrin when we were in the pharmacy at the hospital today, and she offered some of hers, and they ended up striking up a conversation. I'm like, she's not going to take notes from you. She's not going to take the nurse. She's a nurse. It's all over, you know. They're very low key and they're very, philanthropic, but they got mad at one organization for actually putting their name on something when they really just wanted to be anonymous.
Let me ask one other question then before I run out of time here.
We have a number, 2 minutes. Go ahead. Two minutes.
So we have a number of people in the area I live in and other areas I work in who in their mind, there's no crime. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to worry about this kind of stuff. What would be your response to them?
Yeah.
Especially given the last few incidents here in our city.
Well, the number one question I always get is, well, why do they think they need security? Do they have a threat? I have worked for people that have had threats. I had the guy for 9.5 years that had a gun put to his head and he was threatened. And for 9.5 years, we had a 4-man team with motorcade, 2 dogs and the whole thing. The best way to describe it is it's not that they particularly have a threat against them, but if we were at the Allen Mall, they know that I know how to get them out of that situation or would be able to protect them in that situation. When the lady in California, the wine lady I protected for 3 years, when we're sitting in the suite with the queen at the Royal Ascot, the queen has the threats. We don't. Mm. Right. So something close proximity to people that have threats or areas that have been threatened. You know, we had up near you, was it the Stonebridge Mall or something like that, multiple threats.
Right.
So I know that from looking at some of the little apps that I get of alerts and stuff. But if I'm at the Stonebridge Mall and I know that, they know that I have the ability to get them out. Mm-hmm. When we were in London, it was in between the Ariana Grande concert explosion and the people throwing acid on. So that was my first trip with this family, the wine family, to London. Oh. So when I do my advance, I found stores that have basements along the Piccadilly area and in Westminster area where we're at. She knows if something happens, I'm going to grab her. I'm going to take her to a safe place. Yes. That's what these people and everyone in the billionaire category has somebody like me or multiple people like me.
Wow. Frank, was it like you who mentioned Citizen app last time?
Yes.
Okay. So I want to mention that again because I have it on my phone and it's come up a couple times. So you mentioned it. It's Citizen and you can make the radius. And correct. So it'll alert you of active things going on in your area. Right. And I have found it very insightful. Not that not a whole lot has come up on it because I have kind of a tight radius, but yeah. It is nice, especially as traveling or places I'm not as familiar with.
Yeah. We've had we were having lunch at a time where there was a reported on Citizen. We got an alert of a shooting in a vehicle and two cars stolen all within a half mile and within 35 minutes. In a 30-minute time frame while we're sitting in this area in the vicinity having lunch. So that app, as long as there are people that are reporting things that are going on, you will know before law enforcement a lot of times on some of these things that are happening.
Boy.
That app.
Folks, we want to give you that app again. And Frank, do you want to give out real quick a text or an email address for your artwork also? I think it's great. We're running out of time, but I love that one too. Give that to everybody
also. Oh, my alter ego side.
That's it. I like that. It's awesome.
That's my downtime is the cartoons. That picture right there was taken by the Sacramento Bee when my comic strip first made the newspapers.
Oh, cool.
You can't tell right there, but my bloodhound is right here in the corner. And she took this picture because when he was zooming in and leaning in, she turned around and growled at him. So that's why she's in that picture. My email address is frank at blackrhinogrp.com.
Frank at blackrhinogrp.com. Everybody got that one? All right, we take just a moment, Frank, with you before we say goodnight. It's exciting. I just love hearing these things and learning. I learn a lot. Stephanie, we've got some things coming down the pike to us. We actually have some opportunities. Could you share a word with the folks and maybe let them know what's going?
I can, and I have an assignment tonight, so I'm going to make sure I do it before it's too late. So Joe is learning all the technologies, and he has Vimeo. I love Vimeo. You can actually make a donation there too, if it's easier. He's at Joe-Schofield. His last name is spelled kind of unique, S-C-H-O-F-I-E-L-D. And on our radio show program, which you can find at bbsradio.com/raising expectations, there's also instructions there of how you can donate with PayPal and how you can contact each one of us. There's a bio. We have all of our past episodes. And actually, Frank was with us last year. It was a very good episode. So you can search. There's a little search button in the top right, and you can find all the information. We really appreciate you guys listening, sharing this program, donations, all of it. There's the books you can get. That's Pastor Joe's. That's my husband's. We're just very grateful. We're just very grateful for this community. And we just thank you for how you guys participate, whatever that is.
Thanks, Steph. Appreciate you. She does a great job, doesn't she, guys? All in favor on the team, say amen. Amen.
Oh, wait. And since we have our guests, I will say that what Frank offers as far as identity protection stuff is actually something that our family has used for years and years. So if you do not have that, do it. Our last episode, I talked about how long it took for me to repair my identity theft when I was pregnant and working full time. And it was very, very stressful. Don't do it. It's very inexpensive to protect yourself, and it's peace of mind.
Yes, and if you can't find it, send me, I'll make sure I get that to you. Like Steph said, make sure you have it. Well, Frank, it's been a pleasure and a blessing again, and you're always, always in our prayers. Just keep doing a great job. You have wonderful people you're taking care of. It sounds like they're just godly, wonderful people, and let them know that our prayers are with them too. So we're going to have to run now. In fact, we are 1 minute. It's going to kick us off the air. So God bless you, and let's remember, go Cowboys! And I got your Hook 'em Horn sign up for you. There you go. What do you do? That's Ron's favorite team. There we go. They were better Cowboys too.
Yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in to Raising Expectations tonight. Now, you can follow the program all week, and all week, anytime you want. You can hear Frank sharing his story tonight and go back. All the stories are there for you on BBS Radio. You'll find it right there, /Raising Expectations. It's there. You'll like it. Yeah. All right. God bless you. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. And the scribe has this down, so if you have any questions, we have the answers. I'm not worried. Right, guys? We got it.
Thank you, Frank.
We got to bring
Thank you,
buddy. Appreciate it. Frank back so I could ask him about TikTok and what he thinks
about
it. Oh, yeah. We're going to do it again, Frank. We're coming back at you for the end of July sometime. I'll get back to you.
Sounds good.
All right.
Let me get I'll have some videos on TikTok to show you.
All right. Well, we'll see you all later.
See you guys.
See y'all. Said that right.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.